So last couple Sunday mornings, we was talking about the one son and the disciples couldn't heal him, and his condition was foaming at the mouth. And we won't have time to go back and review that. That foaming was a specific thing. Well, let me just mention that. The word foam, when you look it up, and it's Greek, you'd think it'd say something about, well, white substance and liquid and bubbling and stuff like that, but that's not the definition at all. The definition was really superimposition, imposing something on someone, and it, like law or taxes. So that's what was spewing out of this one's mouth. When it said it was a devil, the Lord cast him out, he was spewing super imposition, is imposing things on them. And so we talked about that. And then we talked about where the Lord, when he came, he wasn't there immediately. And when he came, people came rushing to him and everything, had lots of questions and everything. He said, why couldn't your disciples heal him? The disciples couldn't heal him in this condition. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So we're talking about fasting last week, I believe, and we'll try to continue on with that. But I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago on television, I heard a evangelist, or I'm not sure what to describe him, but he says he's going to be talking about fasting. And no doubt he was going to go to the scriptures and places where they had fasted. And he said, but now you need to check with your doctor first to make sure it's okay to fast, because certain medications and things like that. So we were studying, well, what is fasting? Is it really just to stop eating for a period of time? Is that what is pleasing to God? Like I said, I fast every night from about 10 o'clock till 4:30 in the morning. But is that what, they would fast. Sometimes they'd in sackcloth and ashes, they'd be fasting, put the rough clothing on, sat down in ashes, and just really kind of trouble themselves physically. And but we said, is that what fasting really is? So again, we talked about that, and so let's go to the book of Isaiah, where we went to, and Isaiah really answers our question. In fact, it raises a question and it answers the question about fasting. So Isaiah chapter 58. And let's start in verse 3. Why have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Why have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? So they're asking a question to God. God, we've been fasting and everything, but things haven't been going our way. Haven't you seen us? We stop eating for however long. We put on this rough garment, sackcloth, and set in ashes and torment our souls. But yet you're still not answering prayers in the way we would like to have them answered. Things aren't going our way. So that's what they said. So then we start to see an answer here in verse 3 also. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. So that word exact was, again, it was something forced on them, like heavy burdens and labors and things like that. And we'll not go back into that again either. But that was something that, in fact, the word exact here, they're different words, but means almost the same thing as that foaming back there. Superimposing things on them. That's what this exact is, imposing things on them. But let's go on. Verse 4. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and ye smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. He said, the way you're fasting, that's not the way to make your voice heard on high. Going without eating, putting on sackcloth, sitting in ashes, that's not the fast. And then verse 5. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast, an acceptable day unto the Lord? He says, is this the fast that I've chosen? And we can read through the Old Testament and places about fasting, where they did fast. But now he's raising this question. Well, they said, hey, we've done all this fasting and everything, but things aren't going well for us. Don't you see this? And then he says, is this really the fast that I've chosen? A time for you to go without eating, spread sackcloth and ashes and torment your soul? Is that really the fast that I've chosen? Is this an acceptable day unto the Lord? And then verse 6 and 7, he tells them what his fast is. And it's not just, okay, you go without eating, you sit in sackcloth and ashes. That's not what his fast is. The world today, and I didn't listen to what that man was going to say, Brother Chuck, but I assume he's going to different scriptures where they fasted and say that's what you're supposed to do. But he said, check with your doctor. Some medications you have to eat with it and everything. So he was looking at the fast that the Lord had not chosen. Day to torment your soul and everything. So now, in verse 6 and 7, he tells us what his fast is. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. So he says, this is not the fast that I've chosen, but this is a fast that I've chosen. And we talked about that. In verse 6, said to loose the bands of wickedness. Bands, handcuffs, shackles. But physically? No, we talked about David spent years working at the prison. I started to say years in prison, but that might not come across really good. But years working in the prison. So are we supposed to get some inside information from David and always get together and go over there and loose the bands where they're in prison? That's not what we're to do. That's not what it's talking about. It says to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke. He said, this is the fast that I have chosen. And we talked about that last week, and we'll try to go on to verse 7 next. Let the press go free. Undo the heavy burdens. Break every yoke. Let them go free. If the Lord has made you free, you shall be free indeed. We point them to Christ to set them free. And it says to break every yoke. not talking about, I'm not good at flipping eggs in a skillet. I break that yolk, break that yolk a lot. But that's not the kind of yolk it's talking about. And we read in Acts chapter 15, we won't go there. But you remember there was a group come down from the first church at Jerusalem, come down to Antioch, and said, listen, you got to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. You remember Paul and Barnabas, a lot of them had a big argument with them. So the church at Antioch sent a commission up to the first church at Jerusalem to see about this matter. Because they were saying, no, you got to keep the law and be circumcised. So they went up there and they had some, just some chit chat and so forth, what the Lord been doing. And then some of the believing Pharisees, and let me comment on that just a second. A lot of the Pharisees thought that Jesus was of Beelzebub. So these were Pharisees. They didn't believe that. They thought he was a prophet or something like that. But did they believe in Jesus Christ fully? And the answer is no, because of what they said. So up there again, they says, you got to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. So then, you know, Peter then seemed to be an outspoken person. He says, why are you doing this? He says, why are you putting a yoke, and here is our yoke we're talking about, why are you putting a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which our fathers couldn't carry it, you can't carry it, but you're trying to put this yoke upon the neck of the disciples? What yoke is he talking about? The law of Moses. Because that's what they did, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the lawyers and everything, because they hadn't been enlightened yet. And he says, why are you putting this yoke upon the neck of the disciples? Good question. He says, our fathers couldn't carry that yoke, that law of Moses, the letter of the law. There's a difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. So our fathers couldn't carry that letter of the law. And he probably said, I don't know if we have every word for word. He probably says, if you'll be honest with yourself, you know that you can't carry the letter of the law. But yet you're putting it on the neck of the disciples. So we're to break that yoke. We're to set the oppressed free. We're to let them know that they're not under the letter of the law of Moses. We're to tell them about Jesus Christ, God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And there's freedom. So that's the fast that the Lord chose. He said, it's not a day of not eating and sackcloth and ashes. That's not the fast that I chose. It's this, to loose the bands of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens. The Lord said, come to me, slipped my mind now. My burden is light and so forth. It slipped my mind, but it said, loose the bands of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. That's the fast. That's acceptable day unto the Lord. But let's go on into verse 7 now, which is where we kind of left off. Verse 7 says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover them, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? So he says, this is the fast that I proclaimed, but I asked some questions about it. You can go in Ireland, we're a little behind the rest of the world, or the rest of the United States, as far as, but we do have homelessness now. Before, Claire, maybe we didn't. It was always other places. But we have homelessness. We have poor. So each of you that maybe has an extra bedroom or something, or a sofa, are you to go bring them into your house? Is that what it is? When you see someone's naked, do you physically cover them? Let's talk about the bread. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? So that is part of this fasting, to deal thy bread to the hungry. So we don't have a soup kitchen here. We don't invite people in to physically give them ham and turkey and so forth. And I know some places do that. I know they do ham. And ham, if you're looking at the letter of the law, is an unclean thing that we're not to eat. So how do you do this? And I think when we first read this, it says to deal thy bread to the hungry. You know, he also tells us, beware of the leavening of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they says, what is it? Because we didn't bring enough bread? We can't buy from the Pharisees? So I ask questions. Heiner's bread has always been big around here. So these poor and hungry, do we give them Heiner's bread? Or do we have Betty bake enough bread for all of them? That'd make them feel better, actually, wouldn't it? Is that the bread? Is that the fast of the Lord? Is that an acceptable day unto the Lord? Do we go give them a loaf of Heiner's bread or Betty's bread? But he says, is not it to deal thy bread to the hungry? Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Let's go there for a second. Matthew chapter 4. So what is this bread that we're to give? That's part of fasting. Matthew chapter 4, and this is familiar to you. I'll just read verse 3 and 4. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Of course, the Lord could have done that. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the word of God is the bread, according to this. Not by this earthly bread, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So God's word is the bread. And let's go to John chapter 6. A little more about this bread that we are to give to the hungry, which is part of this fasting. And I guess the fasting have different segments or different levels as we read it there in Isaiah. But John chapter 6 and let's go back to verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, and it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you that Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And we know that's, of course, Jesus Christ. Then said they to him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, very clearly here, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So, the Lord said, I'm that bread. I'm the true bread that came down from heaven. So, Jesus, we read where that every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God was bread. Now we see Jesus Christ is that bread. When we read that earlier, every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. That Word, and it said the Word was made flesh. So that was talking about Jesus Christ there. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. That's talking about Jesus Christ. He is the bread. That's what we are to give. Acts chapter 2. Now, we don't give life. We can only give what the Lord gives us. Acts chapter 2 and all the way over to verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So here, breaking of bread. We know what the bread is now. The Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word. So breaking of bread, we know that Christ is that bread. The Word is the bread. So we know that now. And here... said that those that were baptized, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which was the Word of God, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So this has something to do with fasting, to deal our bread, right? Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Something I hadn't looked at for a while, but it's familiar to you, and probably it's something that would stick in our minds that took place here, where the one Paul got long speaking, the one went to sleep and fell out, and so forth. Acts chapter 20 and starting verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So Apostle Paul was going to abide 7 days here. And verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, which I think the last day he was going to be there, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the next day. So Paul looks like this is going to be the last of the 7 days. He's going to be there, and he's preaching to them, because the next day he was going to leave. So he said, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the next day, or the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in the window a certain young man named Eucodus, being fallen into the deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sank down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him and said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. So here's this one. Paul was preaching and preached all the way up through midnight. Went to sleep, fell out. So they got him back up. He's alive and everything. Paul continued to preach until daylight. But what I wanted to bring out, we're not necessarily talking about the miracles or anything right now. The breaking of bread. Says it twice here. He took came together to break bread, and then when he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread. So again, our part of fasting, one of the segments in fasting is deal thy bread to the hungry. We know about the bread. We know it's Jesus Christ. We know it's the Word of God, which in both ways is Jesus Christ. So, breaking of bread. Now, we're going to have communion here this morning, and I'll be breaking that literal bread there, which is a representation of Jesus Christ, of course, and His body. So, but the breaking. We know in the literal sense kind of what it would be. But we're talking about Jesus Christ as the bread, the Word of God as the bread. And it mentions multiple times in Scripture by the breaking of bread. So the word break and breaking is interesting. So as I look at the Greek word that it comes from, and then that Greek word comes from a combination of two other Greek words. And I'd like to look at those. I'll try to pronounce the Greek word so you can see some of the portions of it in these other two, and I know I'll mispronounce it, but the one for break, the Greek word would pronounce something like katagnoumi. Simply means to rend in pieces. Well, okay. And then that comes from two Greek words. The first one is something like rahig noumi. So that noumi, we see that in both of those. And it means separation of parts. So we can kind of see that a little bit in a literal sense. But we're not talking about literal bread, are we? That we're to deal thy bread to the hungry. We're not talking about the literal bread. We're talking about the Word of God. And then the other word that our first word comes from is pronounced something like kata. So we got our original word is katagnoumi. And the other word it came from is from regnoumi. And then the last one is kata, and it means to distribute. So if we take those and look at that word, breaking of bread, rend in pieces, separation of parts, distribution, but then we need to look at, we're not talking about literal bread here. We're talking about spiritual bread. We know the Word of God, Jesus Christ, is the bread. That's what we are to deal thy bread to the hungry. Not a loaf of Heiner's bread. Although Heiner's bread and Debbie's or Betty's toasted with butter on it and jelly or something, it's pretty good. But that's not what it's talking about. Breaking bread, breaking the word. So, rend in pieces, separate of the parts, distribution. What's that mean then? Because that's part of the fasting. That's one of the segments of fasting. Deal thy bread to the hungry. Breaking of bread, we've looked at. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 28. I think this will make a little sense to us. Breaking of bread. That's what we're doing here this morning. We'll do it again as we take communion, the Lord's Supper. But that's what we're doing this morning right now. Isaiah chapter 28. So as you think of the definition of breaking and break and knowing what what we're to be breaking, the Word of God, Isaiah 28, starting in verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Those who are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. And listen to verse 10. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. I've been asked before, well, won't you just read a chapter and tell us what it means, and then read another chapter and tell us what it means? It tells us precept on precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Someone one time said, well, I can teach one sermon, but I don't know what to teach after that. Well, it's the same thing. You teach about Jesus Christ, you teach about the Word, you teach about distributing and breaking of bread in different places, just as we're doing here this morning, breaking of bread. We see it in different places. We could go to a lot of other places, of course, but we see it in different places. So, the Word, to teach knowledge, a little here, a little there, that's the breaking of bread that we saw that they did. That's what Paul did. I don't know what time he started. I don't know if told us or not. Up to midnight when the guy fell out and thought he was dead. He preached all the way through the next morning, breaking bread. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. So there's your breaking bread, the Word. Our Lord said about him, it said, without a parable spake he not. So we look at the parables. When he says a parable, then we look what it says somewhere else, and somewhere else, here a little, there a little, line upon line. So now, back in our text, just a second, I'll read this in Isaiah 58. I'll read 6 and 7 again. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? That's the part we're talking about this morning. Fasting, the fast that the Lord has chosen, is to deal thy bread to the hungry. That's what fasting is. That's one of the segments. Said, no, not what you guys thought. It's not going without eating and sitting in sackcloth and ashes. That's not the fast that I've chosen. This is a fast that I've chosen. And one segment is to deal thy bread to the hungry. We looked at breaking a bread. But to deal thy bread, is it important? We know the bread, the Word of God, that's our business. That's what that's fasting. That's what he says to do, to deal it, to give it out. I'm going to go to 1 John here. First Epistle of John. And the 3rd chapter. So, we're talking about distributing. Distribution was part of that word of breaking, if you remember. But distribution, giving, dealing thy bread. So this says a little different here. But in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But whosoever has this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So it's talking about one would have the love of God. And if it doesn't do this particular thing, he says, how does the love of God dwell in them? If we're not breaking the bread and not distributing that, how dwells the love of God in us? And I used to read this wrong. It says, but whosoever hath this world's good. I used to read it this way. Whosoever has this world's goods, plural, doesn't say that. It's talking about a particular world. But whosoever has this world's good, a particular world. And if we go back in that 3rd chapter, in verse 13 and 14, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. So it says you've passed. You've passed from one world to another, from the world of death to the world of life. And world of death to the world of life. So you pass from one world to another world. So if we carry that over into verse 17, whosoever has this world's good. What world? The world of life. Not the world of death. The world of life. And whosoever has passed from the world of death and darkness to the world of life and light. What good do we have? Well, we could probably round up a lot of bread. What do we have? What do you have that can be considered good? Well, I helped little ladies across the street. I gave someone money to buy a hamburger. Is that good? We call that good? How long would that hamburger sustain them? Whosoever has this world's good is talking about passing from the world of death to the world of light and life. And there's a good there. Singular. Not goods, singular. What good do we have? What do we have we could call good? The bread. The Word. Jesus Christ is the bread. That's what we distribute. That's what we give to the hungry. So the true bread is the Word of God. We point them to the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And breaking of bread is that here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. So, if God has given you His Word, if He's caused you to see Jesus Christ as the only way, the truth, and the life, then you are to fast. By fast, I mean distribute thy bread unto the hungry. That's the fast according to Isaiah chapter 58. And then going back to verse 17 here in John. But whosoever has this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelt the love of God in him? There are times that the love of God's not dwelling in me. Not talking about going to the lake afar or anything like that. But there are times, and I'll speak this to my shame. There are people that I could see that they didn't have the truth. And I had this good, this bread that God gave me, and I didn't distribute it. I told you one time, it's an example, and boy, it's double shame on me. There was a man who was in business, and he was a businessman, and he asked a business question. He says, well, how are you succeeding in this area where so many others are not? First thing I thought about, it's the Lord's will. Did that come out of my mouth? No. I tried to be all humble, Alan. Well, you know, I've got good help and this and that and everything, you know. And we finished our conversation and he left. And I thought, if I had a chance to do it again, I would have said, no, this success is all because of the Lord. And then it was about a year later, this is the truth, that same man, we were standing about 10 feet from our conversation a year earlier, asked me the same question. Same question. Did I answer, oh, it's the Lord's will this time? No. Well, I got good help and everything like that. So was the love of God in me at that time? I didn't distribute bread, did I? Again, I speak that to my shame. May the Lord bless the speaking of his word. This concludes our regular service. And we will...